Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. This is Jody Lowe with the Leadership Lowdown, powered by You and Improved. Leadership Lowdown is a radio series dedicated to shining a spotlight on Valley business leaders and sharing the real stories behind their rise to the top. We want to know the truth about what it takes to truly succeed in life and business. And we're here to uncover these leaders' journeys, whether it's the pitfalls, the victories, or all of the heartaches and triumphs in between. And today I am so thrilled because I am sitting across from two of my favorite people that own businesses here in the Valley, Mr. Mike Donnelly, who's the president of Donnelly Plumbing and Air Conditioning, and Mr. Shannon Simonson, who's the president of Renco Roofing. So welcome, and I'm so glad to have you both here today.
Well, thanks for having us, Jody.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Yeah.
Thank you. This will be fun.
Yeah. Well, it's always a good time in a radio studio, right? Right?
As long as you're here, yes.
Well, thanks. Right. Thank you. Yeah. So sweet. I love it. Well, welcome. The reason we love to do this show is truly to, like I said, spotlight Valley businesses, what it takes, because I think the big thing that many people that start a business think is, oh, you know, they see the light at the end of the tunnel, and they see the glory that comes with it, and oh, like set their own schedule, and they're their own boss, and life is rosy, and you know, those of us that have been there or done it or are doing it know that it's not always quite that easy. So I would love to be able to learn a little bit about both of your backgrounds and histories, and there's some interesting similarities, so that'll be fun to uncover. But we'll start with you, Mike. So you have your company. How old is the company now? It's 47.
So my dad started the company in 1976. So we're 42 years old this year.
Wow.
And I had worked for him as a kid.
Yep.
Got fired a couple times.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
And,
Were you like slacking off or?
I must have been. It was somebody else's fault. I'm
right.
Sure,
of course.
You know.
Of course.
and then I've worked for him for 28 years now.
Awesome.
Out of college. And I had a brief career in the hotel industry.
Yeah. Because you went to NAU and that's just what you do, right?
Yeah. If you go to NAU,
that's what you study.
Hotel school.
That's what you study.
Know.
Yeah. Right. So what brought you back to the family business, or what lured you back?
Well, when you're in the hotel business at entry level, you're working 7 days a week and no weekends off. And so my dad came down to Tucson and said, hey, we're open 8 to 5 and half day on Saturday. And about 4 years later, we were open 7 days a week and working Sundays. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
but
ever working every holiday in the hotel business, you know, it's a grind.
It's a total grind.
So for a family and all that, it really made more sense to be here. And I always wanted to come back and work with my dad.
So. Yeah. Well, how fun is that? So he started the company 42 years ago. Was it just him running it initially before, obviously, you came on board?
So he worked for Trane Air Conditioning, and they got into the service business, and they had they built a factory service center here, and they built a few around the country. And a couple of years after that, as corporate decisions go, they decided to get out of the factory service business, and they end up selling some of the service centers to different people around the country. My dad bought the one here. We've been in the appliance business. We fixed TVs and VCRs.
Wow.
We fixed TVs and VCRs.
VCRs and TVs. Wow. You fixed those?
Right. Exactly. They weren't disposable.
Right. Exactly. It's like a cup of coffee now. It's crazy. And so then you grew up here, obviously. The company was founded here. And then, so you were working there as a young kid? Like how young were you when this all started?
I started sweeping the floor and cleaning the toilets about 12.
That's awesome.
You know, and then in high school, I worked in the parts department, and when I could drive, I was driving, delivering stuff, and did a stint on the phones, and was we actually did door-to-door sales back in the 70s. We'd go bus out to Sun City and walk the neighborhood selling maintenance agreements.
Oh, my gosh.
That was one of the jobs I got fired from. I wasn't producing.
You weren't chipper and friendly enough? Come on. You have that skill. I know it. So did you know at those early days, sweeping floors, like, were you thinking to yourself, okay, one day I'm going to run this company? Or did your thoughts not really go there? Was it just...
Yeah, I mean, I think growing up, my dad's my role model. He's my hero. And I mean, I think growing up, you always go, hey, I want to be like my dad and watch what he did. And it, you know, he coached us, all of my brothers and I, growing up. And, you know, that just some of those things have stuck with me. And, you know, I've modeled a lot of what I do after, you know, what he did. And I think So growing up, yeah, you looked at it and it sounded really sexy to be in the air conditioning business and run your own company.
Yeah.
It's not that sexy.
Yeah. But, yeah. Hey, I've seen you had your face on a bus. That's sexy.
With my dad.
Yes. Yeah, it's special. Awesome. It's a special moment,
it
right?
Was. The photo shoot was unbelievable. One of my favorite moments with my dad in our work history.
Really? Yeah, having that photo shoot?
It was so much fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's, you know, for all the listeners, there's a marketing campaign that went on, which was Mike and his dad wearing sunglasses and arms crossed on the side of a massive bus. Like something about it being, we're cool. Or
be cool.
Be yeah. cool. There yeah. you go. Be cool. So cute little play on the air conditioning business. But yeah, so that was back in the day. And so then what happened? Your brothers didn't get involved in the business, just you.
So my brothers were involved in the business for a time. Mm-hmm. And we've done a few other things like remodeling. We did some development. Mm-hmm. And you know, during the downturn, we leaned out. Everybody kind of went their separate ways. And family business is difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first 10 years, my dad and I didn't get along very well either.
Interesting.
But today we're fishing buddies. And,
that's
you know,
awesome.
I get to see him every day.
That's and, great. I like the word real, choice with get.
it's a real blessing
yeah,
now.
You that's know, awesome.
I've spent a ton of time with him. He's 83 this year or 84 this year.
Awesome.
So still there every day.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, comes in and he wants to know what's going on.
Yeah.
He's still full of advice.
Have his finger on the pulse. Give
absolutely.
Me some good advice.
Yes.
And so what you said, those first 10 years were a little rocky. So what was it? Just differing ideas of what direction the company should go, different management styles? What showed up?
Well, once he matured and he learned that and he got that he wasn't running the day-to-day operation anymore. Mm-hmm. We got along fine.
Okay. Got it. So.
But it really was a struggle finding where's your place?
Mm-hmm.
And for both of us. And so I had to figure out that and learn and mature that I was never going to be the guy that's got his picture on the wall that started the business that's, you know, been there, done that everybody looks up to, like, mm-hmm. hey, Jim Donnelly, he's the man.
Right.
And once I figured out that people aren't going to treat me like that because that's not who I am, even
right.
though I think that I should be or I'm entitled to that.
Right.
And I was running the operation and he'd come in and we'd have it all set up and everything going well. And then he'd come in and change stuff. It drove me crazy.
Oh,
so
right.
once we figured out each other's places,
mm-hmm.
things got a lot better.
A lot better. Yeah. Loosen the reins a little bit and put more trust in
right.
you.
And then, yeah. you know, I think that's also when I deserve to have more trust
sure.
too.
So, sure.
You know, looking back, it's really easy to see it. And I have four boys and we have no plans for anybody coming into the business anytime
oh,
soon.
Oh, really? So. Well, that was going to be one of the things I was going to ask you because I know you have four sons. So no interest or no plans?
they're two of them have their own life now and they're mm-hmm. off the payroll. And, you know, what I've told them is you got to go out and make yourself somebody we need to have on the team, mm-hmm. make yourself more valuable than anybody we have. And they really need to find out that my number one advice for family businesses, get your kids, let them go find out what the real world's all about,
mm-hmm.
because it's not working for dad.
Yeah.
And there's some huge benefits working for your family. And then there's some real struggles, mm-hmm. especially with the whole team.
Yeah.
You're always going to be, you know, Jim's son, or
yeah.
I'll always be Jim's son. And,
yeah.
you know, that I can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes, you know, I just got handed the keys to the building, you know, 28
right.
years ago, which
yeah.
isn't entirely true. But.
Right. So what was that like? That's a really legitimate concern because when you do take over and fill someone's shoes that happens to be your parent, that's some interesting feedback I'm sure you got.
Well, it was a gradual ascent. So I started at a very low level, assistant manager, service manager,
mm-hmm.
28 years ago. But if you're in, and Jan can attest to this, if you're in the trades and you're not a tradesman,
mm-hmm.
you don't know anything. You know, I never went to tech school. I was an installer and I helped technicians do repairs and things like that. But I didn't have the, you know, the diploma from the refrigeration school saying I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And so your credibility is zero
mm-hmm.
with anybody who's in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first challenge. And then the
right.
second one is you're still, I'm still Jim's son. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm just here because I was
Daddy
I
was gave me
born
the keys,
in his house, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it took a long time, and then it also I was at that point I was 27, mm-hmm. and you know everything when you're 27,
right. Of course.
And so it and there's another here's a kid telling me what to do is another challenge. Mm-hmm. So you have all those. You stack those three or four things on top of it, and it's a struggle.
Yeah.
And so, and you don't realize that until you're, years after, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and you have to kind of live through it to just earn the trust and respect, I'm assuming.
I mean,
from
it's just one of those, that part of that life lesson that, hey, you learn through, I learn the hard way usually. You learn through struggles and, challenges and problems and things sure. you got to overcome. And that was part of it. And, mm-hmm. Better for it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say in terms of if you look back on your career now, would you say that was the hardest thing you've ever had to overcome? Or were there other challenges that were more?
You know, that's probably the hardest thing I had to overcome. And it really, most of it's about me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't, as you learn more about yourself and mm-hmm. how people react to you or how you come across to people and you've learned how other people see it in their perspective, not your own 27-year-old perspective.
Right. Right.
You learn
a little different.
Yeah, you learn a little different. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
I mean, those are overcoming challenges. Some of the family business stuff with my brothers, very difficult. And mm-hmm. my parents, they had the dream of everybody working together and everybody showing up to Thanksgiving and Easter together. And, those two things don't go together very well.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot of family.
Yeah,
a lot of family all the time. Right. Yeah.
So that's another one. Trying to make my parents proud and happy at the same time mm-hmm. and, provide for their retirement and all that.
It's a lot of responsibility. You've got the younger generation. You've got your parent. Yeah, you're kind of caught in that crux in that middle.
Right. You have your own family.
Yeah.
I mean, so those are the challenges mm-hmm. with it. And there's a ton of... the pride of owning a family-owned business and mm-hmm. keeping it going and having a reputation in the valley and yep. Doing it the right way and providing for 50 or 60 families and watching guys come in at 22 and work 20 years and start a family, buy a house, have kids, send them off to college. And we were part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, we certainly didn't do it all, but we gave them a platform to where they could do that.
Yeah.
I think anybody who's in business... And a lot of successful people take a lot of pride in watching their people succeed.
Shannon and I were just having that conversation. Literally, we were standing in a parking lot by his truck having that exact same conversation about how, it's your people are your family, really, you know.
You get to know them all.
Yeah, yeah. And you were even saying about like their kids or my kids or,
Right. Yeah. You go to a Christmas party or any of those type parties and they know you and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you grow up and you watch them achieve their successes. And I would assume knowing that you're really an integral part of their success and their futures right. and what you've in a very real way helped them achieve, obviously their own hard work and tenacity as well, but that you're able to provide them that is, it's gotta be pretty rewarding. So now for you, I know your dad was obviously a huge mentor, clearly. Did you have other role models, mentors, people that you just really looked up to or learned from, or was it solely him?
I think, at different stages of life, people affect you differently. Mm-hmm. There was a professor at NAU in the hotel school, Art Hansen, who was made a huge impact on me. And Art was just a really caring individual that, he'd come up and put his arm around you or arm around me and go, "Hey Tiger, how you doing?" And I go, "Well, Art, I'm doing, accounting's kicking my butt." And he's like, he'd encourage me and,
right.
And he was, he's an older guy, back then. And I'll never forget, Art. I've got a couple of people that, you meet people in your life that you think about something they taught you every day. Mm-hmm. And I know Mike Tony.
Yep.
You guys both do.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't think about, I don't use a term that he uses or think about it going out on a sales call without thinking about that. And the third person that is a guy that I've trained with for about 20 years on and off is Mac Newton in Newton Fitness, Newton Taekwondo. And mm-hmm. Mac's a philosopher and a Taekwondo instructor and a fitness instructor. And it's amazing how many things, the same thing. I mean, diet, exercise, some of the philosophies I have in life, a lot of what he's taught me, I've really gained a lot from.
Awesome. Well, and it's so true, because I think so oftentimes people that are starting a business or are working within their business get to that point where they, you know, they have that, maybe it's a business coach or some sort of a mentor, but there's that full spectrum. And so much of it's about your mindset in all of those areas. I know that, you know, we see that with our clients all the time. It's a mindset. It's not just, you know, the words that come out of your mouth. You have to think differently to get those different, you know, results that you want. It's not just, you know, it's the actions as well as the thoughts, I guess. So you learned a lot, obviously, from him and others on the way. Was there a particular piece of advice or something that really resonated with you that you, I guess, share with your employees or team now?
I'm going to have to think about that one.
Yeah. That's a big question.
To come up with a gem like that.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get back to that.
All right.
We'll get back to that one. There's not a problem there. So what's the future look like now? Obviously, you're a very successful company. You service it, residential and commercial.
Right. So we're about 60% residential, and our roots are all residential, but we've gotten more into the commercial space over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And that's really my role in the, and I see all your Gina Wickman books on in the studio, but we adopted the EOS platform 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And as probably a lot of listeners know, the right people, the right seats on the bus. Mm-hmm. And so we did a lot of analysis, and our company's grown enough that my gifts were, we started growing past my managerial gifts. So I fortunately got moved to the visionary seat.
Perfect.
And I'm doing more business development and sales networking. I'm involved in the community and a bunch of organizations. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also the keeper of the culture. Mm-hmm. And so I still am the final interview with everybody that comes to work for
That's
us.
Great.
And I do an orientation with every employee first hour of their existence, mm-hmm. maybe hour and a half at Donley. Mm-hmm. And then do the quarterly meetings and a lot of employee engagement stuff and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I have one direct report. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of, that's what's next for me personally. Mm-hmm. As far as the business goes, you know, we're doing more commercial, more larger projects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our industry has changed and evolved like many in this, you know, in 2018. And, you know, air conditioning equipment's more reliable than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Everything's under warranty, the parts for 10 years. So our repair business has changed. Mm-hmm. How our competitors go to market is not always the, and our industry's never had a great reputation. Mm-hmm. But it some of the pay structures and some of the ways companies go to business today, it isn't always the right thing or the best thing for a customer. So we're constantly working on culture and how do we make what we do good for the customer, mm-hmm. good for the employee. Mm-hmm. How do we do it the right way, the honest way?
Yep.
You know, listen, educate, and give options instead of scaring customers like a lot of people do.
Right. Right. Well, I know your team was out at my house this morning fixing a broken garbage disposal. And
thank you very much.
I love that, you know, it's, you know, the little jobs and the big jobs at all, you know, it's all part of what you do. And the same care and respect is showing up for, you know, a small little job like that as, you know, the big commercial work. So I think that is obviously very telling of not only your leadership and what you've instilled in your team, but, you know, they're calling and making sure everything is dialed in from before and after. And it's like, gosh, that's the level of service that, I don't know, from my perspective, what I see as a consumer is that there's, it's not hard to shine. It really isn't, because really so few people are doing it. You know, it's not hard to stand out these days, because it's so easy to put everything into an automated world where when you get the personalized phone call or someone who really wants to know, what was your real feedback? How can we improve? What can we do better? It's like, wow, that's refreshing. So, it's nice working with companies like yours that care that much. So that definitely stands out. So I have some fun questions that I love to ask our listeners. I don't know if you've heard these before. Yeah. Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
Are you ready, Mike Donnelly?
All right, I'm ready for some fun.
Okay, good. So these are some questions that are, if any of you have seen the TV show Inside the Actor's Studio, I'm not sure if it's still on the air, but some great questions that they ask all these amazing actors and actresses that are so telling and so fun that I figured we have to incorporate this into the Leadership Lowdown, because they're just that great. So with that, I will ask you, Mr. Donnelly, what is your favorite word?
Trust.
Ooh, I like that. So what is your least favorite word?
Money.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to expand on that one? Sorry, I have to ask why.
You just wanted one word answers.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's true. I probably shouldn't ask. Okay.
Because money drives people in a lot of, it sends people down the wrong road so many times. Mm-hmm. And we make, in our culture, it's all about money, mm-hmm. but it really isn't all about money. Mm-hmm. It's about the emotions that we all have with other people mm-hmm. and the people that we care for, serve. But in the United States and our culture today, money just ruins that. And so nobody cares about anybody else. All they care about is making a buck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. And, you know, there's an interesting tie, you know, with both of you here today, obviously working with your fathers and family run businesses, but also a huge theme among all of us here, which is that servant leadership mentality, where it's not just about the money, because you can make decisions that are financially beneficial for you, but is it in the best interest of your people and your team? And sometimes making the tough decisions to put money into your people when, you know, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't do that today, but you see the long-term results. So I love it. Very good answer. Thank you. Okay, so next one. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Well,
no, it's or, but if you've got three, we're good. We're good. Yep. So creatively, spiritually, and or emotionally.
You know, I'm super out. I love to be outdoors. I'm super active. I can't stand to sit still. Mm-hmm. So an answer I gave in an interview not too long ago is if I could spend the day with one person mm-hmm. doing something, I would hike the Grand Canyon rim to rim with Jesus Christ.
Oh,
and that's fill me up spiritually, emotionally,
and probably creatively. Right. Yeah. I love it. That's perfect. So if that's what turns you on, what turns you off?
Do I have to answer that?
Yes. Yes, you do. You're not allowed to leave until you answer.
What turns Mike off? It probably goes along with the money thing, mm-hmm. you know, and it'd be greed or, mm-hmm. People that are super self-centered. Mm-hmm. I just run.
Yeah. Yeah. Not your gig. Well, I remember hearing a story or a testimonial from someone recently who had said, you know, Mike did something that was not in Mike's best interest, that was not financially beneficial to Mike and his company, yet in his heart, it was the right thing to do. And that just speaks to your character as well as I'm sure your father's as well. That's just sort of what Donnelly's all about. So what's your favorite curse word? See, we can swear. It's internet radio.
Shoot.
Shoot. Darn it. Okay. So we'll switch a couple letters in there. Shoot.
Right.
Ish. Okay. What sound or noise do you love?
The ASU fight song.
Yes. I love it. So you went to NAU, but you love the ASU fight song.
So I grew up a Sun Devil fan. My nice. Mom and dad have had season tickets for 53 years.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm when I moved back to town, I've been a season ticket holder for 28. So and my four boys bleed maroon and gold. And yeah, so
it.
There's nothing like the Sun Devil fight song.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Unfortunately, lately on the football field, it hasn't
not,
been all
not
that
so great. Yeah.
Herm Edwards is going to bring it all back.
There you go. And so why did you, sorry, this is a little segue, but now I need to know, why did you not go to ASU? Why did you choose
I wanted to leave home.
Yeah.
You know,
just too close.
Yeah, it's too close. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get away from my parents and mm-hmm. be loose and free. And I tried to go to Colorado, but just like I told my kid, why do you want to go to Colorado? I said, well, I want to go skiing. And
right.
My parents said, well, you could ski in NAU for half the price.
Right.
And if it's not about school, you're staying here.
Yeah. So. You're like, oh, dang it. Wrong answer. Right. Can I retract that? Yeah. Can I come up with something better?
You got to give me points for being honest.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's got to be points for that. I love it. So what sound or noise do you hate?
I should have said, when you said, what sound do I like? I should have said, I love the sound of an air conditioner coming on.
There you go. See, that would have been a great right. tie-in.
But what sound do I hate? Say Jennifer asking me about why I'm not working enough?
That sounds like there's a whole nother story there. I don't know who that is or what that's about, but that sounds like we might need to have a drink and talk about that one.
We might have to go down a different road.
That might be a different path. If you were to choose a profession other than your own, what would you like to attempt?
I'd be a high school football coach.
I could totally see you doing that. Yeah. I can completely see you doing that. I love it. What profession would you not like to do?
Be a doctor.
Yeah. Don't want to put stitches in people's eyes.
No. I'm obviously okay getting them. But...
Mike just had a little run in with a, I guess a.
It was on corner. The ice.
It was a hockey game, bad hockey night, incident. Right? That's what we're telling people. A few stitches in his eye right now. I love it. So doctor, got it. So if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates? I love the pauses.
Welcome.
That welcome's good.
Yeah.
Welcome's good. Yeah.
Be at peace, my son.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Well, I thank you so much. Are you able to stick around while we chat with
Absolutely.
Mr. Shannon here? Awesome.
Yeah. I want to hear Shannon's story.
Yeah. Oh, well,
especially if he's got any family business insight.
Yes. Well, the irony of you both being here today is, it's not irony at all. It's just how things work quite perfectly. But there's so many similarities, and I'm sure you're already picking up on it. But I'm like, oh my gosh, these two could be brothers, let alone besties by the end of today. So I'm so glad that you two are able to meet here today. No accidents. If people want to learn more about you or the company or get in touch with you, what's the best way to connect with you or Donnelley Services?
So our website is donnelleyservice.com, mm-hmm. donnelleyservice.com.
Okay.
And our phone number is 602-997-6115.
Perfect.
And both those are That's our main number.
Awesome.
We answer it 7 days a week. So.
And I will tell you, if you like Donnelley Service on Facebook, those ads, whoever's doing your social media, I get Comfort Hero ads all the time. I'm
awesome.
Like, wow, they're
well,
doing a good
for
job. Of course I do. And thank you so much for being here. We'll ask Mr. Shannon some of these fun questions too. So you, again, same kind of a similar, you know, working in the trade and working with dad. And so tell us all about how this all started with Renco Roofing.
So Mike's story is quite a bit along the same lines as my own.
Yeah.
So as a kid, I was probably around 15. We lived in Washington State working mm-hmm. for my dad. He was a painting and special coatings contractor and did some roofing stuff. And I remember my first day on the job, he brings me to our foreman, Rich. And he says, Rich, this is Shannon. Shannon, this is Rich. Rich, if Shannon doesn't run, fire him. He was joking, but I knew where I stood.
Right.
Basically, I better work harder than everybody else there.
Yep.
So I then moved down to Arizona in the 90s, 95, and got married. And I worked for a company here in the Valley from starting tearing off roofs and then going into being a helper, then a foamer, which is a type of roofing system, to management and sales. And I ended up getting out of that at one point and moved back to Seattle, my wife and I and a few kids. And I got to get back to know my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So moving away as a kid, you know everything. It's time to move on. And I moved back to Seattle. I was about around 25-ish or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I started up my own business up there then. A few struggles here and there, just like anybody starting a business. And,
sure.
You know, starting a roofing business, it's hard enough to start a business, let alone fight the rain. Mm-hmm. So, of course, my wife's from here. Approach her with the subject that maybe we should move back to Phoenix. We have our foam equipment and whatnot. And our house was sold in one day.
Wow. So, there's luck.
Right. So the hardest part about that was actually telling my dad that I'm moving back to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And it actually took me months. And when I finally did tell him, he's like, I'm coming with you.
Wow.
Like, wow, well, we'll see if that happens. Well, they were, lo and behold, down here in December. So we started our business in 2004. We did remodeling along the same lines as Donnelley did. Mm-hmm. We did remodeling, just basically whatever you could do to stay alive
mm-hmm.
and pay the bills. And from there, with the intention of becoming a roofing contractor. So that's what we knew and loved. So when I started my own business, I actually loved sales. That's part of me, just sales, talking to people, meeting people and whatnot. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized when I worked for a company that I was out fixing many of the roofs that I promised some things would be finished or fixed. So being that I knew the roofing growing up in it, I found myself being out there. So that's when I decided, you know, the only way I can guarantee happiness and do the best that I can to make a customer happy is by starting my own business. Mm-hmm. And I still, even one of our sales reps makes a mistake, we will still back our sales rep and make it happen.
Yeah.
So it's just how we are. And now my dad died. Been tough.
Yeah.
But I know that our business is built off of what he's taught me.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that in knowing you, the short amount of time I had, there's a quiet, humble strength about you. And not knowing your father, I can only imagine that that's just generational and what, you know, he instilled in you, and obviously just who you are and how you show up. But just knowing you and hearing how much he meant to you and means to you is huge. And, yeah, and you carry that on.
Just a young man. I mean, he'd be 61 in April. So,
wow. Yeah. That's so, far too young. Yeah, far too young.
It is life, and not much we can do about that.
Yeah. It doesn't get easier. Plan, that's the right? tough part. That's part the tough plan. Part. And so you and he were in business together initially, but then you brought in some family.
So actually, my brother-in-law and I, Lon, he's my business partner. So we started our business. So it was a little bit different than the normal business, knowing with all the things that I've done with my previous business in Seattle, I didn't want to do the production part of just running all the men and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do the sales and development of our business. And with that, my brother-in-law asked me, hey, should we go into business? And we said, you take that part, I'll take the other part. And mm-hmm. that's what we did with. And then my dad bought in, actually, and we split it three ways mm-hmm. once he, in December that following year when we started in April. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's how it started. And then, of course, my dad's gone now. Yeah. But,
yeah. Wow. And so with how the business is now, obviously you do commercial and residential work, correct?
Yeah, so we do both commercial and residential work. Primarily, I mean, 65% of our work is residential.
Okay.
And 35% of it's going to be commercial, HOAs.
Mm-hmm. That's buildings. A big piece of your business,
yeah,
the HOA.
It's a big part of our business,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also commercial buildings then too.
Awesome.
But we primarily focus on re-roofs. Mm-hmm. We do new construction also, but most of our work is re-roofing.
And did you ever think at any point, like, you know, I want to work for a company. I want, you know, the comfort of, you know, the benefits or the security of this or that. Did that ever enter your mind, or were you just sort of the born entrepreneur?
Well, when I was in Arizona the first time, when I moved back, I went to work for my dad, and I actually had a small business before I went back to Seattle. And I worked for my dad for 6 months. I said, you know, I love you, Dad, but mm-hmm. I got to go on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just, I like taking care of people.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do.
I love it. I love it. I think we got that in common. Yeah, right. It's all about, I think all three of us have that in common, actually. Yeah. That's interesting. It's a question I often get too, is, you know, people that know my background or story are like, why didn't you just get a job? And I'm like, it never dawned on me. Like, it truly never dawned on me. Cause I think when you're just wired very entrepreneurially, you just, that's just what you think to do. It's like, well, I'm going to create something or start something.
Right,
so
right.
That's just how you're wired. So now you've got a lot of family that works within your business, correct?
Yeah.
A lot of.
Well, I mean, I'm the oldest of 18 children, so
it's just mind boggling. Right. And how many children of your own do you have?
I have 10. So my oldest son,
amazing,
is moving to Montana today.
Wow!
So we just had a going away party for him last night, and he'll be 20 in May, and he's going to spread the wings. He's worked for us off and on throughout the years, but just like Mike had mentioned earlier, I've encouraged all my kids,
you gotta go
try life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can go try something else.
Yeah. Yeah. So your kids
see how easy it is.
Yes. Right. Right. That's what they think. But also, I mean, even with that, it's just learning life and not expecting things. And even when my children work for me, it's mm-hmm. they actually probably get treated a little worse
mm-hmm.
than my own employees. I mean, mm-hmm. I care about my employees. I love my kids. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that fear, the same thing with Mike growing up in mm-hmm. in a family business, that there's no favoritism
mm-hmm.
and there's not going to be any air of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, you're going to earn every bit.
Wow. And so, and your kids range, I mean, you've got some little ones, so 20 to what age?
20 to four. So I have twin daughters that are graduating this year. So,
Wow.
Crazy.
And so how has that been? I mean, a father of 10, obviously so many siblings and large family. What the heck is Christmas like? That's what I want to know. What does that look like?
It's awesome. But I mean, it's my wife too. I mean, she stays at home. She has a big job at home. Yeah. So it's.
Yeah.
Taking care of the kids, raising the kids, whatever
else.
And I do what I can, but with the business is, you know, you're gone a lot and I miss dinner many times.
Yeah.
But her father has meant quite a bit in the business world for myself, what he's taught and what I've learned through him.
Your father-in-law?
My father-in-law,
oh,
correct.
Okay.
So my wife has come from an entrepreneurial family, so she understands that sometimes it's not play, it's work. So
yeah.
We'll play later.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the good news is you play hard, from my understanding.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you do? What's the adventurous side of Shannon?
We were in the last 3 weeks, we've been to Snowmass for 4 days and then we've been to Telluride for 4 days. So we've been skiing.
That's awesome.
And I was just up in Minnesota, wife and I and a few of my daughters for a wedding for a niece of mine. So in between the two of them. So it's, we run. And
yeah.
We've done 3-week, 4-week motorhome trips in the summertime.
That's awesome.
So it's...
That's where the memories are made.
Yeah, that's where it's made.
Well, and this guy over here, Mr. Donnelly, was just helicopter skiing. Speaking of skiing.
I'd love to do that. I've never
done
it.
Go.
Yeah, it was a bucket
British
list, right?
British Columbia. It was unbelievable.
You go to Whistler somewhere or somewhere?
We were in with CMH in Kootenay.
Okay.
So it's like just north of Spokane.
Yep.
And... it was the first time. It was amazing.
Yep.
We skied Snowmass a bunch of times.
Yep.
Love it. I mean,
oh, it's beautiful.
It's a power line glade on the burn is
one
of our favorite playgrounds.
I have no idea what they're talking about at this point. That's okay, though. they're in their own world now. I'm like, I'm not sure what that means. I did see some incredible videos, so that's all that matters.
That'd be fun.
And so you're talking about, you know, obviously your wife being so integral in making life happen, you will.
For sure.
What does that look like? How's the balance I never love that word balance. But how do you make it all happen? You know, is there ever the, oh gosh, I should be here. I should be there. Do you ever have that?
Oh yeah. That definitely comes into play. Like even my first four children, I wish I could do it over again.
Interesting.
But my last six, I have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't have fun with my older ones, but I didn't have the time with them because starting a business.
Yeah.
But now I've been able to enjoy it. And even I've asked my kids, like the older ones, like, what could I have done different or whatever? They loved growing up anyway. So, I mean, part of it is you just have to accept that that's the way life went.
Yeah.
And as a child, it's no matter where you live, it's just a different life.
Yeah.
There's no cares in that life.
Yeah. Well, so. I think they just appreciate the time that they have and
right.
they remember the memories that they remember,
you
know, the ones that mean something, the motorhome trips and the, you know, the whatever, helping with homework one night or whatever it is. But
that's what happens too is when, I mean, our kids help each other too. So it's not like there's no way we'd be able to help with all the homework.
Oh, whatnot. Sure.
So the older ones will help the younger ones and it's just a big team. And,
yeah.
and like you said, at Christmas, my wife's planning Easter right now and there'll probably be 80 people at our house.
So, so if Mike and I show up, no one's going to notice, right?
So, we bring all our kids.
Eggon, right. I'm all about Eggon.
So, my mom has 85 grandchildren. So,
my word.
Yeah. So it's a big
family. Phenomenal.
She's very blessed.
Yes.
Wow.
Can you imagine 85 grandchildren? I mean, and how do you even,
remember
all
their names.
Yeah, I can't remember the names, let alone the birthdays.
You end up, the birthdays not, but the names you do.
Wow. I mean, that's just amazing to me. And so much of your family obviously is large family, so many of your siblings and so.
Right.
So I can only imagine. Do you ever do a full family reunion with everybody? Because that's like thousands, right?
We had one in Minnesota last year, just my mom's family and kids, and it was 110 or so. But we have a family reunion up in Kalispell, Montana with my dad's side. So it'd be my grandpa's kids and down.
Uh-huh.
So unfortunately my dad won't be there or one of my uncles, but there's about 900 or so. So they're figuring about 600 will show up. So
600.
Yeah, we had a family reunion back in 1992 and there was 700 of them then with my grandpa and his siblings.
Oh my gosh. I think my chin hit the floor. So. And it's so funny because my family is my dad, my brother, me, and my soon to be 99-year-old grandma. That's it. Like, there's no other aunts, uncles. So I think that's why I'm so intrigued and amazed, because I can't even imagine. I mean, our Christmas is like, hey guys, well, here we are again, the three of us or four of us. So that even, I can't even imagine.
Even in business, so we have many people that, hey, what could you do this or that? I mean, our life is family. That's what it is. It's family and our business.
Yeah.
So there's only so much time I talk to people. Like, if I was to go visit one of my siblings every week, like one of them, I mean, 17 weeks goes by before I can see somebody else again. So,
oh my word. So, do a lot of them live here, or are they all over?
Yeah, 14 of them are here.
14 of them are here. My goodness. Yeah. My goodness. And are a lot of them, a lot of those 14 involved in Renco, or?
Well, throughout the years, there have been just about all my brothers have been in, and involved. Many of the in-laws too.
Yeah.
But now I have one of my brothers. He's one of our managers, and my twin daughters are in the business, many cousins.
And how's that? I mean, is that, I know you said you're kind of tougher on them, especially when they're younger and just kind of spread their wings, but.
Yeah, it's an option. So they've had other jobs prior to coming to us, mm-hmm. but it's also, they know where they stand too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And where do you see Renco 5-10 years from now? What's the vision?
Well, just like Mike has, we actually just started Traction. Mm-hmm. We're about 3 months into it, or thereabouts, 4 months. And we're already seeing the benefits from it. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm the implementer in our business, if you know what Traction is. And then I will be plan on being the visionary role in probably about 3 years is what our plan is.
Is the plan. Right. Yep. Got it. So, got it. That's exciting. And when you think to, you know, the future, it kind of brings me back to the past. Is there something that, I'm assuming much like Mike, your dad was obviously a huge mentor. Is there something that really stays with you, something that he taught you or that just you hang on to?
Well, there's a couple of sayings he would always say is, when is enough enough? So what are you chasing, basically?
Yeah. I mean,
when do you say, okay, we're comfortable? Not that you don't want to be, you want to keep growing.
Sure.
As soon as you become comfortable, you're going to decline. But even along the same lines with Mike, with money, mm-hmm. it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's about employees. It's about the business and for longevity, these other things that come mm-hmm. with it. Mm-hmm. And even during that hailstorm that we had back in 2010, which was phenomenal for business in the roofing, air conditioning, car mm-hmm. business, but just making sure that it's not about chasing that insurance and being shady, all those things.
Doing the wrong things.
Yeah, it was being grounded all the way through that thing. That, I mean, there's a lot of money to be made on it, but mm-hmm. a lot of shady money too.
Yeah. And maintaining the integrity.
Right. When we came out, we didn't change any price. We didn't do anything. When we came out of it, we wanted to know that people, when the hailstorm came, we treat them the same. The dollars were the same. Everything mm-hmm. throughout. We didn't go raise prices, even though the insurance were paying more. When it's come and gone, our customers and people around us know that who we are.
Right. What you stand for.
Yes.
So what happens? Obviously we've had a crazy dry winter. So what happens, you know, when you're riding the cycle of, you know, a year like that, where it's just mayhem and there's more business than you can keep up with. And then the dry spells, how do you maintain that? How do you maintain the morale? What do you do to kind of keep your people positive?
Well, that's interesting right there. That's even for a business owner too. You have to try to keep your own self positive.
Absolutely. Because
you have to be the leader of the pack.
Sure.
So that's what we're trying to figure out right now, what we're going to do, mm-hmm. Finding different avenue streams of not just rain. Mm-hmm. So finding and marketing to the client that's being a little more proactive or wants to know what's going on with their buildings or roofs or whatever's going on with that way to mm-hmm. help them, even though it's not raining today, it's going to leak at some point.
And right.
Give notice or that they can think ahead of
right.
what's going
have
on.
Them start thinking a little differently. Absolutely. And do you continue? Is your goal really residential and commercial moving forward as well? Is that?
Yeah, it's residential.
Yep. No real changes there. No. Right. Awesome. Well, I have to ask you the same fun questions because this is just sort of our thing now. So we'll start with your favorite word. What's your favorite word?
Well, I didn't want to say the same one as Mike, so that's why right away I thought it was trust, but also perseverance.
Love it. Perseverance. So. I have to tell you, just being in this studio right now, it's really so beyond me that like how similar, just knowing you both separately and knowing now that you both know one another, you're cut from the same cloth. And it's not everyone, especially in the trades, it's not common. So I'm just so thrilled to have you both, you know, here and hearing the trust and the perseverance and doing the right thing and the integrity that you both built your companies on and continue to, you know, in terms of the legacy you want to leave. I love it. So perseverance, awesome. What is your least favorite word, Chan?
The money that Mike had said is great, but can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
It's
either.
A great one.
If you want, not a fan.
If you get you and my own children, mm-hmm. I have a quick story. I had one of my sons, he wants to be the perfectionist. He's my oldest too. And he went out to, I asked him to go trim some bushes outside. And he ended up doing it when my next son down. I said, hey, you should stop right here. But he kept going. And it ended up looking like a Dr. Seuss bush when it was done. And my second oldest son's like, I told him to stop. And he met me at the door. When I went to the back, I looked at it and I just smiled and I said, you tried. Where before, he wouldn't even tried. Mm-hmm. So then I showed him how to do it, which I should have done in the first place. But
lesson learned, Dad.
Yeah, but it's that can't just, it'll get the hair on the back of my head.
Right.
Especially when they haven't tried.
Yeah. Haven't even put any effort into it. Right. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, and or emotionally?
It's family for sure.
Absolutely. I kind of had a guess on that one. Right. So what turns you off?
Somebody... It's about themselves and themselves only.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, so similar. Yep. What's your favorite curse word?
Don't have one.
You don't curse.
No.
You're a good boy. Okay, we'll pass that one. What sound or noise do you love?
The sounds of wind and like the mountains and the pines.
Yeah.
There's,
you're a mountain guy, huh?
I am.
Yeah. It's your happy place.
Outdoors. if I could live in just... Talking to my wife just recently, my next life would be in like Idaho, Montana, Colorado, someplace up in that.
Yeah. Outdoor, so, big sky. Yeah.
Love it.
Awesome. What sound or noise do you hate?
Chalkboard. Fingernails on a chalkboard. Just the thought of it.
Oh my God. And all of us just did that little move, right? Oh, that is the worst. Although my kids, it's so funny because now they don't really know what chalkboards are. I mean, they know, but they don't have that feeling anymore. No one does that to irritate the class anymore. It's all these
smart
boards.
They still have the smart boards. I know. Make the same noise.
Yeah, it's not the same anymore. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Well, if I could attempt one, well, it would probably be flying.
Oh, okay.
Like a pilot.
Yeah. Commercial pilot?
Commercial pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to have my own own plane to go fly around. My wife says she wouldn't go with me, so go down. So
she's like, I value my life. Thank you.
You'd have to have an awful big plane to get the family.
Right.
like a 747 for your family.
But it would just be
that's
fun.
Only the immediate family. Right? Right. That's only the kids. Right.
Yeah. That or a guide, some hunting guide or fishing guide.
Lee's Ferry.
Right.
Have a guide. I love it. So what profession would you not like to do?
A teacher.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, I love them,
uh-huh.
but they just don't get enough credit.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's tough.
I have 10 kids I try to teach and that's hard enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I get it. And if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Well, it would be part of a text. Would be, come ye blessed of my Father.
Love it. So, love it. Yeah. I'm sure Dad's there waiting for you when the day comes. He'll be there. And for all of those proactive listeners that say, I need to get my roof done now while it's not raining, how do they best reach you, Shannon?
You can call us at Renco. The phone number is 602-867-9386. Mm-hmm. And our email would be admin@RencoRoofing.com.
Awesome. And you've got such a great team over there. I know you do a lot to continually build their skills in so many different areas and knowing so many of them, they're just a fantastic team that certainly your leadership is instilled in them. They show up big.
Just like Mike, it's not about us. Yeah. It's everybody.
That's awesome.
Can't do it by myself.
There you go. That's true. It's very, very true. So in closing, one of the things I'd love to ask is, you know, this is the leadership lowdown. So what is that one thing, if you can leave our listeners with that one tip, that one, you know, nugget of, gosh, if someone had told me this, or a principle that you live by, or some word of advice for all those entrepreneurs or business leaders out there, what would that one word of advice or sentence or phrase of advice be? We'll start with you, Mike.
Know what your gifts are. Mm-hmm. And know what you're not good at.
Awesome.
And find great people to do what you're not good at.
Yeah.
And work with you.
Yeah. I believe it was Henry Ford that said he knew what his gifts were, and he just surrounded himself with people that were much better and much brighter than he to do all the other things and allow people to shine where they shine. So very much in alignment. Perfect. How about you, Shannon?
Mine would be, that's a great one right there too, Mike. And mine would also, onto that, would be to take care of the customer and do what's best for them, mm-hmm. above all.
I love it. I love it. It speaks to obviously your character, but it's also, you know, there's nothing like an amazing referral and the value of that word of mouth and, you know, right. someone having a great experience. I mean, you can see a million trucks driving around in both of your industries and have 10,000 options to call, but who do you really call is the person that had a great experience. So to your point, yeah, there's no better value. Well, I have to thank you both so much. You know, having known you now both for not a long period of time, but getting to know you and the way that you operate your businesses, the way you, you know, teach and train and develop your people, the way you show up for your clients and customers is so refreshing. And I'm sure that our listeners have certainly enjoyed all the wisdom, because there's something to be said about the being in the trenches and building it yourself. And those are the stories that we love to share. So I thank you both for making time in your very busy schedules to be with us today and sharing your words of advice and wisdom. So thank you both.
Thank you, Jody.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jody. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we thank you for listening today. For those of you that aren't familiar with You and Improved, it is really our mission to get companies to think about their people, invest in their people, because when you realize that they're your greatest asset, that's when you can really shine. And that's what we do at You and Improved. So if you want to learn more about some of our trainings and programs, you can feel free to reach us, myself at jody@youandimproved.com. And it's Jody with an I, or of course at youandimproved.com. And to Mike and Shannon, thank you both again so much for being here. We appreciate it. And we look forward to talking to you all soon.